Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today's episode, Messianic Journeys, Part 1, is really a continuation of the last couple of episodes in which we focused on a very unusual statement that's found in the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. Truth be told, tonight's lesson can be enjoyed independently, but you'd best go back a couple of episodes to messianic mindlessness, to learn the Gemara, to understand the questions, and to see how he demonstrated that it is impossible, simply untenable, to entertain a literal reading of the words of our sages. At face value, the Gemara seems to indicate that speaking about or even thinking about the coming of Mashiach isn't a good idea. It would be virtuous for us to forget about Mashiach altogether. But that flies in the face of every other detail we know about Mashiach in Torah literature. We've explained this Gemara in a variety of ways. Each rings true. And each is contained within the words of the Gemara. In a most recent episode, we talked about an entirely new approach, a new perspective, an idea that's pioneered by the Alter Rebbe, where Hesech Hadas, that's the buzzword, Hesech Hadas, literally, diversion of attention or mindlessness, ignoring something, forgetting about something, literally moving one's mind, is essentially a description of a person who moves beyond cognition, recognition, rhyme, or reason, serving Hashem in a manner that is transcendent of the aforementioned. That means to marshal the deepest essence of one's neshama. We call that Mesiras Nefesh. Watch the previous episode for clarity on that. Today, we're going to begin a new leg of this journey. The ultimate destination will be an entirely new appreciation of the words of our Gemara. But first, a bit of a preface. And if you're still watching, I just want to remind you that all of these classes are available on my website, rabbikaplan.tv. And if you aren't yet, please subscribe, youtube.com/Rabbi Mendel Kaplan. Don't forget to enable notifications so you know when we go live. Okay, my friends. Today's initial point of departure will not be the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. As we embark in this new journey, despite the fact that it has a lot to do with the ground we've traveled up until this point, we're going to take a look at some very famous words that were penned by none other than King David himself, David HaMelech in Tehillim, in the 84th Psalm. Speaks to us about people who are virtuous, people who are fortunate. And he says, in Kapitel Pei Dalet, Pasuk Vav, Psalm 84, verse 6, Psalm 84, verse 5, Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha, O Jehalelucha Selah, fortunate are those who dwell in your house, they continually or will continually praise your name. Rashi, in his commentary on these very words, Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha, says, a person who has yet the privilege to dwell in God's house, va'od, and furthermore, yalalucha betocha, that he or she has the privilege of giving ear, expressing the praises of Almighty God, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this is obviously a person who's quite virtuous, a person who's fortunate. The psalmist then goes on to say, Ashrei Adam oz lo bach mesilot bilvavam. Freely translated, fortunate is the person whose strength, oz lo, comes from you, whose mind is on the roads. What roads do we speak of? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, oz lo bach asher sam Otcha oz miftacho. He has placed his trust in you. When you place your trust in Hashem, that's a source of strength. Mesilot bilvavam, says Rashi, machashev bilibo. He meditates or thinks in his heart about drachav liyasher esdarko. He thinks about the ways of Hashem so that he might enable his ways, straighten his ways to follow those paths. If we look in the Mitzvot David speaks about this pasuk and he says, Oz lo bach, miftacho bach, his trust is in you, and at all times, b'chal eit choshvim, b'livavam, hamsilot ha'olot lebeit Hashem, they're always thinking about the pilgrim's roads, the roads that lead to the Beis HaMikdash, and this can be understood, of course, quite literally, as well as in a proverbial sense, a person who's always seeking closeness to God. So there's a journey. These are roads. Trust is placed in Hashem, and we're traveling a road to go to God's house, to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Skipping forward to verse 8, David HaMelech says, Yelchu mechayil el choyil, and I'm going to translate this quite literally. They proceed, they move forward from strength to strength. Yeroah el elekim b'tzion, ultimately appearing before God in Zion. What does this mean? Says Rashi, Mechayel el choyel otam hanizkarim lamala. These are the people we spoke about earlier. These are the people who are fortunate. These are the people who dwell in Hashem's house. These are the people who praise Hashem. My dear friends, we're talking about people who are fortunate to have a relationship with God. Not by virtue of the fact that God created them, but by virtue of the relationship that they have nurtured with God, the potential, the spiritual possibilities encoded into their spiritual DNA that has become actualized. And these people who are fortunate to have a relationship with Hashem, who seek closeness to the creator of the universe, these very people, says Rashi, Ahar Yoshve Beitecha, these people, Asher Mesilot Belevavim, whose minds, whose hearts, whose meditation is on the pathways of Hashem, these people go Mechayel El Choyel. Now here, I have to stop and introduce the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says, and this is found in Mesechet Brachot, on Daf Samach Dalel, on page 64. The Gemara says, Omar Reb Levi Barchia. Reb Levi Barchia taught, Hayotze mi beit ha-kneset v'nichnas lebeit ha-medrash. We talk about somebody who has left the synagogue but entered the house of Torah study. In other words, when a person prays, he or she is privileged to develop a profound, meaningful, a powerful relationship with God. After all, the word tefillah, as Hasidic literature often emphasizes, is akin to the Hebrew word hatofel. That's the Mishnah that uses that word to describe a person who fuses another layer of clay onto an object of pottery, hatofel cheres. So tofel or tefillah means to attach oneself, to fuse oneself, to connect oneself. So when a person goes to a Beit HaKnesset, to Hashem's house, he is fortunate. When he or she uses the opportunity of being in Hashem's house to then pray to Hashem, Yahalalucha, then Yelchu Mechayel, they go from spiritual strength, El Choyel, to yet another greater spiritual strength. And that, says the Gemara, is when a person leaves the house of prayer and goes into the euphemistic house of Torah study. It doesn't mean you have to go to a different place, but it's a mindset. Where are you at this particular moment? I hope you're here with me. When a person is praying, as it says in Hayom Yom, they are like a child with his or her parent. When a person studies Torah, they're like a pupil with their teacher. So you're moving into a new frame of mind, a new emotional perspective in your relationship with Hashem, and your Osek B'Torah. If you do that, if you are not satisfied with the prayerful achievement, but move on then to learn the lessons of Hashem's Torah, Yiro Lelekim B'Tzion. You will indeed behold the face of God in Zion. Yelchu Mechayel El Choyel, says the Gemara. That's the meaning of, as it is written, they go from strength to strength. אלא לכם בציין. אמר רבי חייא בר אשי, אמר רב, תלמיד החכמים אין להם בנוחה. The Gemara further says, the Torah scholars have no rest, לא בעולם הזה, ולא בעולם הבא, not in this world and not in the world to come, because ילכו מחייל אל חייל, they're always going from strength to strength. And Rashi says, indeed, מחייל אל חייל, מבייס המדרש לבייס הכנסס. Interestingly, Rashi inverts the order. He speaks about from the house of study into the house of prayer. And perhaps this is the continuation. A person is engaged in prayer, a person goes to study, a person studies, a person engaged in prayer. There's a constant, you're constantly going to the next level. You know, the prayers that we experience have everything to do with the level of knowledge when you understand who you're praying to, as well as the meaning of the prayers. So you're learning, you're praying, you're going on to learn Hashem's Torah. And this is a continuous, if you will, journey. A journey in which a person comes until Yeroa Lelikim Bitsiyin, he comes to see God in Zion, so to speak. As the Radak puts it, Ki Atamidim Helchem Beis HaMedrash, LeBeis HaMedrash. They go from one house of study to the next house of study, says the Radak. Very interestingly, he leaves prayer out of this entirely. He says, within Torah study itself, you continue to go from strength to strength, so that you're able to continue to further develop your spiritual potential. I see Zalman asking a question which has nothing to do with the particular subject we're talking about, but what should come first? So the answer is, we start with prayer. But we study Chassidus before we daven, so that the davening is more meaningful, and then we go, mi beit hakneset lebeit hamedrash, that's what the Gemara says. Now, very interestingly, this is also understood sometimes to mean mechayel el choyel, from throng of pilgrims, from group of people to group of people. But the Gemara interprets chayel not as a throng, but the Gemara clearly interprets this as strength, suggesting that there is this constant ascendancy in the knowledge of Hashem, in the awareness, in the grasp and appreciation of godliness and divinity. There are a number of letters that the Rebbe wrote in the Schottenstein edition of the Gutnik Tillim. They quote from a letter dated Matzoi Shabbos Chai Elul in the year 5730. That would be the equivalent of 1970. And then one at the end of Shvat in 5738. I'm going to quote from the English translation. Yelcho Mechayel El Choyel, says the Rebbe, however satisfactory the position was before, even in the case of men of great virtue and piety, it's not good enough. If a person maintains the status quo, it is necessary to make a real effort to proceed mechayel el choyel, from strength to strength, higher and even higher. Here one must turn to God for the needed strength to make the steady progress in daily life, so that today should be better than yesterday and tomorrow should be better than today. And when a yid firmly resolves to proceed mechayel el choyel, from strength to strength in all matters of Torah and mitzvahs, both in regard to himself and in disseminating them to his environment, he has the assurance of reaching his fullest potential. So this is our first point of departure. In Lakuta Sikhas, Chelik Chav Gimel, page 226. This is the fifth chapter of Asicha and Parshas Maaseh. The Rebbe says the following. In the minyan von halichem el chayel el choyel, in this idea of going from strength to strength, and the Rebbe says, aliyah shaloi be'erech, a quantum leap is what we refer to here, zaynen dot zvei pratim. There are two details. The first is, avegeim von the friedike madrege, one goes away from their previous station. The second is tsukumen to the hechera madrege. The second is to reach the next level. So you need to graduate from elementary school before you move on to high school. And that's a process. And the child who has been in the same school, in the same environment for a number of years, is very comfortable. And he's been with his teacher and in the same classroom for this year, and now it's the end of the year, and you have to let go of that comfort zone. And he's going into a new reality, a new milieu, new demands, new curriculum. Everything's changed. It's a little uncomfortable. And you have to acclimatize yourself. So you have to wean yourself off your comfort zone and then go into a new reality, a new station, if one is to grow. Growth is oftentimes somewhat painful, or at least uncomfortable. But it is only when a person experiences that pain or discomfort that you can actually grow. Otherwise, you'll be in eighth grade for the rest of your life. And here the Rebbe says, "Und das ist der Chiluk zwischen den zwei Lashonos." Here we can see and understand the difference. The words that I am quoting now from the edited Sicha in the 23rd volume of Lakut HaSichas are actually taken from a Farbrengen that the Rebbe addressed the crowd on Shabbos Parshas Matas Masi, which was the Shabbos Mevorchim of Chodesh Menachem Av in the year Tov Shin Yud Gimel, 1953. We'll come back to that original Farbrengen soon. But this is the edited version, so I want to share it with you in its edited form. The chiluk tzvishin, the tzvei l'shein is hiluch un nesiyah. The difference between the languages of hiluch, halicha, means to go, and nesiyah. Nesiyah means to journey. Halicha, going, is madgish be'iker dem gain weiter, proceeding. Keep on going, keep on moving, keep on trucking. In whatever language you choose, the point is to continue the progress. And the reason? If Zukum and Hecher, you want to reach your next destination. Nesiyah is madgish nit nor dem gain weiter. When you talk about a journey, embarking on a journey isn't that you are only going to continue to proceed. Nor euch dem aveg gain von an ort. You're going to leave somewhere. You're embarking, heading out on a journey, as we see in the Torah. When the Torah describes the journeys of the Jewish people at the end of the book of Numbers, it says, Vayis'u, they journeyed forth, may, from a particular location. And here, the Rebbe cites a number of biblical precedents, like it is written, Nisa v'neilcha. That is a quote from the Torah speaking about the Shvatim, Parshas Vayishlach. Nisa v'neilcha, Yaakov Avinu, Father Jacob, is going to go forward. As Rashi says it there, Nisa mikan v'neilach, we will now leave here. We will leave here. This is the conversation between Jacob and Esau. We're going to leave here. It's not just about continuing to go. It's about leaving the place we are. Or later, when Joseph is seeking his brothers, it says, Nasu mizeh. He meets a figure who is unidentified, a dispute amongst the Rishonim if he was an angel or a passerby. But at any rate, he said to Yosef, they have left this spot. And of course, our sages tell us that the idea of leaving this spot is they have left. You seek your brothers, they've left. They've left their brotherly kindred connection with you. They've gone away from that. They've abandoned the brotherly connection. And of course they did. They sell Yosef as a slave. And the Rebbe in the footnote 15 says, he see you atzman, as Rashi says, they have journeyed, they have left min ha'achva, from the brotherhood. Val pizehu lashon akira. And according to this, it's clear that the concept is an uprooting, a leaving behind of something. Or finally, we see Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the Jewish people, trying to say, guys, we need to leave the Reed Sea. And they said, Moshe, there's gold and silver. There's money to be made. And Moshe says, no. We need to move to Matan Torah. We have a purpose in life, and it isn't to collect money. The purpose is to get to Torah and to become God's special people. And it says, Vayasa Moshe. Moshe, and Rashi tells us, quoting our sages, quoting the Medrash Tanchuma, he see you bal korchon. He had to literally force them away So he forcefully pushes them, if you will, away from the Reed Sea so that the journey continues. And that's why we have these various verses of the Torah, which speak with the language of Nisa, and it has the uptight, it has the translation as uproot. And here the Rebbe says something very interesting. This applies not only to a physical location, this applies also to a state of mind. Really, we can see that already in the details with Yosef and his brothers. They see Atzma and Achma, but they have left the location. You seek your brothers, but they have left this location. However, in addition to this, we can also see that it refers to having left Achva, having left brotherhood. And here the Rebbe says something very interesting. If you take a look in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and we're going to do that right now, at the end of the sixth chapter, the Gemara is speaking about a person and his or her obligation to make a blessing over a glass of wine. So the Gemara, it's on Daf Ayin, on the 70th page at the very end of the side one, the Gemara says that Abba bar Rav Chuna Omar, Yayin Yoshon, Yayin Chodosh, Tzarech Levarach. He said, if you drink aged wine, and then you drink new wine, that you have to recite a blessing over the latter. Now, the Mefarshim explained that we're not talking about the blessing of Borei Pri HaGafen, but rather we're speaking about the bracha of Hatov V'Hametiv, God who is good and confers good. So a person who drinks a variety of different wines is supposed to make a bracha when he samples new wines. The Gemara in Meseches Brachas in the Bavli on page 59 talks about this. And there's a discussion whether it means if the second wine has to be a better wine or just a different wine. So we're talking about different wines. Then on the next page, the Gemara continues and says, Shinu Yayin, but if it's merely a change of wine. And as the Pnei Moshe comments, Vishneya Mina Yoshin and Mina Chodesh, both are either old or new, they're not inherently different. Then in that case, there is no need, Ein Tzarech Levarech. Okay. Now the Gemara says another example. Not different wine, but you changed. Shinui Mokoim. There's going to be a change of place, a change of location. So the Gemara says, if there's a change of location, then you are required Levarech. Tzarech Levarech. Why? Well, because since you're in a new location, since you've left your old location behind, then the previous drinking that was covered by the previous recitation of a blessing has ended. Now you've moved to another location, you're going to continue drinking, but since you're in a new place, it's a new sitting. A new bracha is required. So there we talk about a change of physical location. The Gemara's language is shinui. Hisiya literally means, comes from the term of traveling, moved. When one moves their mind, says the Gemara, kemi shehu shinui mokeim, diversion of attention, moving your mind is akin to moving locations. In other words, that if a person was drinking, and then in his mind, he said, I'm done drinking. And then after having diverted his mind from the focus on the wine, he reconsiders and he says, oh, you know what? I'll have another glass of wine. Aha! In that case, it's just like a person who went to a new location. And because he went to a new location, he's required to recite a bracha. Quite fascinatingly, the Rosh in Masechet Pesachim on the 10th chapter, in the 4th subsection, he says that indeed, just like the change of mind requires a new bracha, so too the change of location. Actually, in so to speak, opposite argument. But at any rate, we can see that there is a similarity between physical location and state of mind. It's pretty clear. And so, the Rebbe, who's talking about the concept of halicha versus the concept of nesiyah, the difference between Yelchu Michael, going, proceeding from strength to strength, from detail to detail within a journey, is not the same as embarking on a journey, because nesia means an uprooting, and the uprooting of one's physical self from a particular location is akin to a person uprooting himself in a state of mind. The Rebbe says that we can see this further in the terminology, besides that the Talmud Yerushalmi uses exactly this term of hisia, which is spelled like a nesia, like a journey. And in the Talmud Bavli, it shows up as heisiach daitai, a movement or diversion of mind or attention. So we see this also in halacha. And here, the Rebbe cites a fascinating halacha about the laws of tefillin. In the Tur, in Simen Mem Dalet, the Tur, of course, is the first iteration of what we call the Shulchan Aruch today, although the Tur wrote four columns, and he divided the Jewish law into the same system that was later adopted by the actual code of Jewish law, the Shulchan Aruch himself. So in chapter 44, the Tur says a person, when wearing tefillin are those black boxes that have little Torah scrolls, or scrolls of the Torah, that are placed on our biceps, close to our heart, and on our mind, against our brain, and it symbolizes the devotion of our consciousness, of our soul and our mind, and of the feelings in our heart to Hashem. So when a person is wearing the tefillin, he's not allowed to sleep. Why can't he sleep? He can't sleep because his mind won't be on the tefillin. He becomes mindless. Says the Torah, it's not considered having totally removed one's mind from the subject, diverted one's attention. Only when a person is entirely light-hearted, light-headed, when he's not thinking about anything that is tefillin or God-related. This is a teaching actually quoted for Rabbeinu Yonah. Very interestingly, and we take a look in the big Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch of Rabbi Yosef Karo, he doesn't mention this at all. He says, "Kol zman shatzfilin tefillin bereishay bezroya." Whenever you're wearing the tefillin, one is not allowed to sleep at all. And it's obvious that the reason is because one is required to give attention to the tefillin. And the Magen Avraham says, in Sifkaton Beis, subsection 2, "V'lechoshev hisiach das elo." This is a quote from the Torah. But he says, obviously a person should be mindful of the tefillin entirely. That's the perfect way for it to be. Very interestingly, the Alter Rebbe exports this idea from the 44th chapter of the Torah. It's mentioned by the Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch. And the Alter Rebbe, in Simen Chof Ches, in the 28th chapter of the first section of Shulchan Aruch called Or HaChaim, says the Alter Rebbe, Osur lahasiach daite mitfilin, it is forbidden for a person to divert his attention from the tefillin, calls man shehein olav, as long as he is wearing them. That means you don't have to be thinking about the tefillin when you're holding the tefillin, but when you're wearing the tefillin, you have to be mindful of the tefillin you're wearing. You're not allowed to divert your attention, afilu rega echad, not even for one moment. Then the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, "Ve'eino nikra hesach hadas." It's only called a diversion of attention, mindlessness, forgetfulness, removal of one's consciousness or one's awareness or cognition. Kisha'imid b'schaik b'kalas reish, when a person is frivolous, when a person is lightheaded, or when a person is very busy or worried, he says about something else. So preoccupied might that person be, he's no longer thinking about his reverence, his awe for Hashem. But when a person is in a state of awe and reverence to Hashem, he's involved in his own particular issues. Maybe he's studying Torah, maybe he's doing something else. Even though he's doing his work, ve'ein daiti ala tefillin mamash, he's not thinking about the tefillin entirely, he's thinking about what he's doing. Ein ze nikra hesech hadas, that's not called hesech hadas. In other words, hesech means a total removal. It doesn't just mean to be less mindful. It means mindless. Only when you totally divert your attention, only when you leave a particular perspective, a focus, a frame of existence, a consciousness, is that called Hesach Hadas. In the original Sicha, which is found in the Teres Menachem in the 9th volume, the Rebbe says, you have to learn like this. It's impossible to entertain in any other way. He says in the early generations, they would wear tefillin a whole day. It is impossible, he says, for the overwhelmingly vast majority of people to wear tefillin a whole day, and every single moment they're thinking about the tefillin. And he says, even in today's day and age, people will tend to wear their tefillin for the morning services and oftentimes for the Torah study that might follow the morning services. It could be an hour, it could be an hour and a half. It's not possible that at the time of davening of prayers or at the time of learning Torah that a person should be thinking about the tefillin each and every single time. The Rebbe quotes a statement that's made by the Alter Rebbe in Likutei Amarim Tanya, the first section of Tanya, in the 41st chapter, where the Alter Rebbe says, a person doesn't have to be thinking about God every second of his Torah learning. It's enough that before he begins to study Torah, he says, this is God's Torah, and I'm studying God's Torah now. And then his mind is focused on the subject matter. He doesn't have to be thinking about the fact that it's God's Torah each and every single second. So Hesach Hadas means a total removal. A totally new state of being. You've uprooted yourself from where you were and gone to a different place, mentally and emotionally. So what is this all about? What does this have to do with Mashiach, you're probably wondering. Well, my dear friends, if you've been following along in the last few episodes, we learned in the Gemara that a person should know that the only way Mashiach will come, Shleisha Dvorim Boim Behesach Hadas, there are three things that come to us when we are totally going to uproot our attention. Hesach Hadas doesn't mean a non-focus. Hesach Hadas doesn't mean not speaking about Mashiach, but you're thinking about him. Hesach Hadas means we've totally forgotten about the subject. Totally removed ourselves from that state of mind. The first was a lost item that's found, an akra of a scorpion that comes just like that, and Mashiach. And Abzeda went on to say, "V'matusim inaychu," he said, don't speak about Mashiach because we need to have Hesach Hadas, but that's not even what Hesach Hadas really means. And therefore, the Rebbe in this Sicha in Tavshin Yud Gimel pioneers a fascinating new approach to the Gemara. He says, when we are talking about Hesach Hadas, we mean a totally transformed perspective. You looked at things one way, and you have to go away from that. You have to remove that approach. You have to leave behind that state of mind entirely. Hesach Hadas. And only when you have a full, if you will, separation, a truncation, leaving behind of how you thought in order to redirect your attention in a fresh manner, only then will Mashiach come. Because that's how Mashiach comes. Mashiach bo behesach hadas. The question, of course, is, what does that mean? What are we forgetting? What are we leaving behind? And what are we refocusing on in order to bring Mashiach? Well, I'm supposed to keep these lectures somewhat limited. So I'm going to give you time to absorb everything we've learned in this little episode. I'm going to just reiterate and recap. We're on a journey. And even though we're on a journey, there's a part of our journey that requires sometimes an uprooting. We talked about going from strength to strength. We talked about the difference between halicha, going, proceeding, and nesia, journeying. I traced the etymology. I showed you how this is not only speaking about a physical uprooting from one location in order to go to another location, embarking on a journey, but that the messianic journey requires a change of mind, leaving behind old paradigms entirely. Because hesach, hadas, the truth about removing or leaving one's mindfulness, means to leave behind old paradigms altogether. And that's how Mashiach comes. Mashiach ba behesach hadas. In the previous episode, we learned from Tanya, the fourth section of Tanya, Yigeres HaKadosh, the Alter Rebbe says, and this is talked about by the Tzemach Tzedek in his Maimarim as well, Hesach Hadas means not to serve Hashem out of rhyme and reason, to leave the rhyme and reason behind, and instead to serve Hashem in a totally new paradigm of Mesiras Nefesh. The Rebbe is going to introduce us to an entirely different perspective that we must adopt in order to accelerate the process of redemption and the arrival of Mashiach. Please join me for the next episode, Messianic Journeys, Part 2, for the rest of the explanation. Thank you so much for joining. I hope and I pray that Be'ezrat Hashem, even before we get to finish or move on to the next episode, that Mashiach will already have come, and that we'll be meeting in the third Beis HaMikdash. Until then, please subscribe, youtube.com/Rabbi Mendel Kaplan. And a reminder that all of my classes can be found on rabbikaplan.tv. Thanks for joining.